Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast. My name is Rick Kayla Thompson.
And my name is Adam Lavaz. Thanks for joining us for episode 61. And it's great to be here on a Thursday night, the 24 hours after DigiCon and Rick's triumphant return, made after a Spark Talk and your Edmodo presentation. And mate, how did you feel it went? Did it go down well? And
it's always a great conference, and there's always a good turnout, and it's always nice. I mean, I sound a bit selfish, but it's always nice to get out of the classroom for a couple of days and catch up with some like-minded educators. And so that's not the sole reason why I go, but it is one of the reasons why I like to apply to go. Yeah. And as usual, it didn't disappoint.
Yeah, good stuff. And can I ask for the listeners as well? Obviously, I wasn't able to be there, and I know, but the listeners, these are your Spark Talk. What were you able to give your Spark Talk about at DigiCon?
Oh, I talked about. I kind of wanted to focus. Like last year, I focused on relationships in the classroom, and I'm kind of taking that overarching theme.
Yep.
Again, and I talked about the morning scoot that I do with the kids, which is instead of just the old traditional good morning. I think I've talked about it before.
Yes.
The kids get a secret topic. A child gets a secret topic the day before. They've got to find some info about it, and then in the morning when I say good morning, they all say who's got the scoop or what's the scoop. Yep. And that person gets up and delivers a little speech, and we record it podcast style.
Yep.
Put it up online for parents to see. My main focus is how, you know, that's to me all about fostering that feeling in the classroom. It doesn't have to be about learning as such, just about being a community.
Yeah,
so that was kind of what I touched on.
Yeah, well, that's really good, because I know my 1-2 class, particularly last year as well, I think it was, or it might have been this year actually, if they all meld into one at the moment, but we used to get on and listen and leave a few comments for your students and things like that. And it's really enjoyable, because my kids would listen to it and go, oh, I didn't know that. And you know, they'd actually have, I'd have choose a couple of kids who had a question that we'd hope that, you know, your students would follow up. It was really good, and it included, you know, you had those older kids and I had these younger kids, but they were able to meet in the middle. It was really good.
And I've done it for different reasons over the years, like the one you just mentioned. This year it's been very different. It's really just been almost a closed community, just my class and parents at home who get on and listen. And that's, and I've noticed that that's all it needs to be this year.
Yeah,
it doesn't probably need to branch out any further. And we've got a lot of kids that haven't had a lot of experience, their young kids, you know, online or anything like that. So yeah, so it was really nice. Excellent. To be able to have an opportunity to talk about that.
Yeah, good on you, mate. And I know tonight, obviously, I wasn't able to go this year. I had an opportunity earlier in the year to go to some leadership PDs that were important to me, and I couldn't double up. I suppose it can be a little bit expensive as teachers in our profession know, having to cover CRTs and also pay to go to things, and it can get quite expensive. So tonight, Rick had the opportunity to interview a number of people at DigiCon and get their thoughts and things like that. And that's going to kind of be the episode tonight, isn't it, Rick?
Yeah, we thought it worked well last year, so we thought we'd try and grab some old faces, some new faces. And, well, I'm not going to say anything more, Adam. I'll just let our listeners go for it.
So I'll catch up with you in the outro, and let's listen to these interviews.
All right, well, we've got a special guest who's never been on the podcast, but I'm actually thinking this is the first time that I can say... Possibly we've got a long-time listener, first-time guest on. Would that be right, Aaron Davis? Thanks for joining us.
That would be right, Rick. Yes, definitely, first time.
So we're Aaron and I. Aaron was one of the first people, I think on an earlier podcast, we mentioned a blog post that he'd written where he likened the Two Regular Teachers podcast to talking education with a mate at the bar, and Adam and I have always really liked that analogy. So thanks for being on.
It's okay, Rick.
When we first ran into each other today, you mentioned that things have changed up for you, mate, in terms of you've changed school, changed scenes. How's that been for you? I know you've just come off some leave, and what's it like being in a new environment?
It's definitely different going from travelling 5 minutes and then to travelling an hour to school, and that's just a change. And you know, you realise that, you realise the time. In addition to that, it's a different role. Being sort of an admin type position, it's a different way of working. Regular teachers are very busy, very busy. And we all know, like, it's hard to sort of fathom what that business is, but it's always something going on. But it's always a case of getting something done. Whereas in the role I've gone into, in that sort of coaching environment and also the project environment, it's not always clear what needs to be done, because it involves that sort of certain sense of creativity. So it's just a different mindset and a different use of time.
That's fascinating, actually. When we ran into each other earlier today, well, off air, we were talking about parenting as well and teaching. And I know you've just had a little bit of time of long service leave recently, and being basically, well, these are my words, but a stay-at-home dad for a short time. And I'd just like to lead into that next topic with welcoming another guest onto Two Regular Teachers, Dean McLaren, a first-time guest. I has listened before, I think, but we met at DigiCon 2 years ago. Welcome to Two Regular Teachers, Dean.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate that. Nice to catch up again.
Yeah, it is nice to catch up. And we'll talk about your Spark Talk soon. But I know you're a father, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yep.
I guess in terms of balance, and you might be able to, if you've had any time out of the classroom, Dean, I know you've got a bit of a life behind you before you became a teacher. But I'll come back to you, Aaron, and start with, well, how do you balance it? And if you said to me that it was quite challenging being in a completely different environment at home with the children. Can you muse a little bit on that for us?
Well, I think it comes back to that busyness and that different use of time. And I'll be honest, I'll call it out. I took some leave, and you know, I was lucky enough to stay home with our newborn. And I think I had an idea of what it would be, and it was a lot different. I don't know. I don't actually know what I thought it exactly would be, but it was just busy, 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 and it really taught me a sense of respect. You know, when parents come to the door and they just look frazzled, and you think that as a teacher it can become a case of, well, you know, I've got a lot of work to do too. But that empathy of understanding what it's like to rush to get kids there for drop-off, daughter in prep, and then balancing the rest of the day and so forth, it really gave me a perspective that really comes back to the idea of the regular teacher and you know, the regular life.
Yeah, I think you've touched on some interesting things in terms of balance. Dean, have you? I'm assuming you came into teaching, already as a father.
Yes.
Have you noticed any kind of skills that you've maybe brought from parenting into the job, or vice versa, now that you are a teacher? Or?
My parenting and my teaching have been pretty complex because I started teaching a year after I'd adopted two boys from Ethiopia. I'd only been back with our two adopted boys from Ethiopia a year when I started doing my teacher training. Mm. And then for me, because I hadn't had a background in education or anything to do with academic things, I found it much more challenging. So I invested an enormous amount of time trying to become a better teacher. And at that stage, probably to the detriment to my children in a way. I remember when they were much older, I overheard my boys say in a conversation, "Oh, I'm never going to be a teacher. When do you ever see Dad sitting down to relax?" Because I was always on the computer, or I was always making up lessons, or I was always doing things, getting ready for class.
Sure.
And I guess that's because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I was always conscientious. I was always trying to make the most of what I was doing to give the best to my kids in the class. So, and then I was a bit disappointed because I did it because I wanted to inspire them to go on and do something else. Because I'd come from, I used to be a bricklayer, it's been a long road for me. And then went and did photography and then became a teacher. So I bring with me to my teaching all those skills and all that background and all that knowledge and all my travelling and everything, and that's fantastic. And I hope I also impart that across to my boys. But I also think that it's great to be able to impart that knowledge and that understanding and that background of all those things in my teaching as well.
That's wonderful. And I think I saw Mel Cashin Spark talk today. She was talking about what it means to be a teacher, and she wasn't necessarily touching on those things you said, but I think everything you've just said then about your life before teaching, you know, is really what it means to be a teacher, because we're all humans, aren't we?
Yeah.
And all bring to the job lots of different experiences and things. Now I want to lead into your Spark Talk today. You bounced out of the door, side of stage, in part of a rabbit suit from Alice in Wonderland. Wonderful start. Tell us a little bit for the listeners, a little bit about the whole premise of your Spark Talk, and also maybe how it links to some of the stuff you were just saying, because there was a lot of elements of not just the curriculum, but of, I guess, life experience you brought into the task.
Sure.
The garden party.
So my Spark Talk was about a thing that we did called Salad in Wonderland, which came out of us reading Alice in Wonderland at school, and a schools program that was put on by a local organisation to do a garden challenge for all the schools to produce vegetables and to do something within the school, within the curriculum, that all the schools were competing at. We'd previously won it twice, and I thought it'd be lovely to win it for a third time. So we developed this whole program that went right across the whole school from prep to grade six, where all the students were involved, and it involved art, literacy, numeracy, science, technology, getting out doing the gardening side of it as well, so the science in that as well, and having the kids involved and having them participate in it and have some ownership of it, and to give them just some, I guess, a level of passion that you don't often see, so that every time they think of Alice in Wonderland, they've got that connection with it, and it's something that's personal for them, that's meaningful for them, and it might hopefully inspire them to go on and do something else. And I guess I've done a little bit of acting here and there over my past, so, you know, when I came out this morning, I was going to wear the whole rabbit outfit, but, you know, it was a 15-minute talk. I'd been up since 5 o'clock. I thought, yeah, it's a bit of an ask to...
I know it was tweet. I think Andrew Williamson tweeted a photo of you from your slideshow in the whole rabbit suit. So it is out there in social media.
Great.
But I know you mentioned afterwards to me a little bit about blogging and your, you know, wanting to get back into sort of blogging. And we mentioned briefly how that whole task that you did, the whole activity around the salad in Wonderland, could have had a blogging element to it.
Yep.
And so, Aaron, with that in mind, I want to throw back to you. Now, a big question for you, because you're a big blogging man and you're a champion of the blogging process. I think that's fantastic. At this stage in 2016, in the way that education is in your mind, where does blogging sit both for students in the classroom with their teachers and also for us as professional educators?
I think it comes back to, so often it comes back to reflection, both for students and for teachers. And, you know, maybe that's a reflection on learning, reflection on self, whatever sort of position that sort of takes. But I also think it adds a certain sense of authenticity. And I think that goes for both students and for teachers. You know, we all go through a process of you know, auditing and so forth with VIT and that, and going through our reviews and that, and that, you know, using something like a blog actually adds a different layer of meaning that isn't always present, you know, in that sort of interview where only two people get to experience and so forth.
Yeah.
So I think it's about looking back upon it.
I mean, all of us want to, I think reflection in our job and for the kids is just so important. And I don't think many of our VicPLN are unsure about your Read, Write, Respond blog. But if you're not, we'll chuck it on the blog post for this episode. Jump on there. There's always great reflections with Aaron. And he's a fantastic retweeter and also gets back to you pretty quickly. Boys, thanks for... I noticed your beer bottles are empty. So it is. We are podcasting from the networking hour here at DigiCon, so we better go and fill up. And thanks very much for joining us on Two Regular Teachers.
Thanks
Rick.
Well, I'm really excited, Adam, because this is the first time... By the way, we're still at DigiCon, and it's the networking hour. And this is our first pre-service teacher who we've officially had on the podcast. First-year pre-service teacher. And I'd like to welcome Ash Loong to the podcast. Welcome, Ash.
Thank you for having me.
Just for those people who don't know, Ash is the daughter of Riss Loong, who hasn't been on the podcast yet, although we want to get her one day, but is well-known to the VicPLN. So really appreciate you being on the show, Ash.
Yeah.
First thing is, I guess, being in first year in teaching, why teaching? Why did you choose the education profession?
I have wanted to be a teacher pretty much since I was 5, from what I can remember.
Wow.
Yeah, a long time. And then obviously mum doing teaching for her, I got to kind of see what she did and see that the impact she made on all the kids, and it's something that I really wanted to do. And
that's great, because five is really early, because normally, I mean, I know that I've got a few aunties and uncles who are teachers, but my parents weren't, but teaching didn't come to me until after VCE. I didn't know what I wanted to do when I graduated.
Yeah.
Did you have moments though growing up where having, and I'm not asking you to diss on your mum here or anything, but like, did you have moments where you were kind of like, oh, teaching, I'm sick of hearing about teaching, or something I don't want to do? Or if you really were, from everything you remember, you were pretty focused all the way through on the job?
I think from as long as I can remember, it was always a teacher. I actually did study law for a semester.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I'm also passionate about that as well. So I tried that and then realised what wasn't what I wanted to do forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then just changed and started my first year of teaching, and I just love it, and I know it's for me, so
that's great.
Yeah.
Look, I remember how I felt my first year, and it was very similar to that. It was kind of like you just had this, like all of a sudden you've found something that just is speaking to you and makes sense. Yeah. So you're in your first year at ACU in Melbourne. How are you finding your first year in terms of the course, and then in terms of, I know you haven't quite had a proper prac yet, but how are you finding just the content and just the whole course itself? So
far? It's really good, because I'm in my first, I've just finished my first semester. And we pretty much went back to the start, learnt what we would teach in maths and English, and we did that ourselves. So, pretty much our maths exam was doing mathematics, English exam was writing an essay. Doing all those first, I think the second year, it's more, you know, learning how to teach that to kids.
Yeah, so I know that you've got a prac coming up next year.
Yeah.
What kind of sort of classroom frontline experience are they trying to give you in your first year? Because I still feel like you need something. Are they doing anything?
I know that we do community service. I think it's up to us, so obviously I'll go to a school and just check that out. But
see, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Because community service reminds me a little bit of maybe what you would have done as work experience.
Yeah.
I had a work experience student from Year 10 last term, and I kind of got mixed up with thinking she was a pre-service teacher, and I gave her a few things to do. And, and to her credit, she kind of did it, but I thought, that's probably not what she's ready for. But I think, I mean, you'd like to think as community service that you're still getting involved and doing some things in the classroom,
wouldn't
you? I
would definitely love to. Yeah, would rather do that than kind of just sit back and watch.
Yeah. So. Well, that's great that you're already saying that, because I think my friends who I went to uni with, we always said that the first prac is the one that sorts out people who want to be teachers or not. Sometimes people step over that line into the classroom and they think, nah, I think
you've definitely got to be involved straight away. Otherwise, I think also the teacher that you're working with, they're going to know.
Yeah.
They're going to know that you're not suited for it.
The final thing I want to talk about is something we talked off air, is jobs that we have while we're studying at university. And we had a bit of a laugh because, I mean, I used to be a deli boy at Safeway, and was for many years, and I used to wear funny hats, and but my knowledge of small goods and anti-pasta type things have just grown. But what, if you don't mind sharing with us, what is your part-time job to get by while you're at uni?
That's fine. I'm actually at the Lint Cafe.
Wow.
At Southgate. So yes.
Do you get any freebies?
We do. We get to test all the new products that come in, which is great.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you'd have to almost pull yourself back, though. You could go crazy on it, couldn't you?
Definitely. Yeah.
And do they work around your uni hours pretty well?
Yeah, they do. They have quite a lot of uni staff there, so they're pretty used to that.
Because I remember I used to want to not work at all during my 2 weeks of prac, because you just knew you were writing lesson plans at night. And I remember Safeway were really good about that. So hopefully when you come to that point, it's the same for you.
Yeah, I want it to be like that, because I don't want to be doing that on top of the extra teaching
absolutely.
Stuff.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Ash, for joining us. You're the first pre-service teacher we've had on two regular teachers. You should be honoured. I'm very excited. I know Adam will be jealous that he's not here. So thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Well, for the second time in this episode, I can say that we've got a long-time listener and a first-time guest. We've got Brett Lockyer on the show. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Ah, thanks, Rick. Glad to be here.
And I know that you've been a great supporter of us via Twitter and social media, and it's really nice. But I mean, I started learning drums when I was 9. It's really nice to have a supporter of our theme song. So thank you for your support. And you have coined the hashtag Bongo Boys.
Yeah, proud of that.
That was yours.
Yep. It's I think it's a really good little number, that. Nice and plain.
It's not too loud in
your headphones, but recognisable. Yep.
All right, great, thank you. Mm. Well, look, let's talk about a few serious things first. I know, talking off air before with Celia and yourself, Celia, another listener and supporter of our podcast, that you've got a pretty cool idea that you've tested on a few people for the Fringe Festival here at DigiCon. Can you elaborate a little bit on that for us?
I tend to come up with ideas sort of, you know, fairly close to the wire, so I hadn't put in my submissions to be either a keynoter or a spark talker. Sure. And I do have another identity, and it says Madame Zorza, and I do sometimes I do sort of fortune telling for fundraising in my sister's street market. Anyway, I thought I'd extend that, and I've developed some more games, but it's all about, I'm in a new role, which is a kind of a coaching type role, to develop conversations with the co-teachers at school, but I want to, you know, do it in a wacky way, a Brett way.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. Is that, and you've started that?
Yeah, I have.
Well, what's the staff reaction been like?
Yeah, that's really good, really positive, because I think playing these games has actually helped me to tune in to what they're saying.
Yeah.
It's actually not all about me, so,
and I think, I mean, it's a relationships too, isn't it? I mean, it's like with the kids, if you've got a coaching relationship, there has to be some sort of understanding and relationship first, doesn't there, before any kind of, I guess, learning can take place, or coaching for that matter.
Yeah. The other thing is, when you play games together, because there's like a card game and a other sorts of games, you're not really looking at each other, you're looking at the cards.
Yeah.
So it's sort of quite, it takes the sting out of it.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Now, you've been holding in your hand this whole time during the interview, it looks like a menu. I'm just going to read what it says. It says, what's on the menu? And it's got a photo of a restaurant looking place. It says Lee Ho Fook.
Yes, as you know, being a music person, Lee Ho Fook was the restaurant where the Werewolf of London got his beef chow mein. So I wanted something that would, you know, catch people's eyes, but, you know, only two people have known what it is. That's all right.
Well, I apologise. I mean, I like the kind of the dark art side of things. I love vampires. I mean, I go right back to Holmes as you know, 1800s London. I love that. But Lee Ho Fook, I must admit, I didn't know.
Okay, well, the vampire thing started it out because, as you know from TV shows, the vampire has to be invited in. And that's what I said to my colleagues. I said, I'm here in my new role as ICT literacy teacher. You have to invite me in. I won't come in unless you invite me. And it worked a real treat.
Yeah. That's
so
fantastic.
That's what they do. They invite me into their classrooms and their planning meetings.
I really wish you were my coach.
Yeah, oh, okay. I don't know. I'm a bit crazy.
Oh, and I've got a coach, and that's not dissing on her by any means, but that sounds fantastic. I like that.
Yeah. I think my school has chosen the right person because I am a worker ant, just like them. So, yeah, I know how they think. But my menu, I'm really happy with it because what I did, I was in the role for 6 months before I designed it, but I worked out what it was that teachers were requesting of me, and then I've added a bit more. So the menu just describes to them about just going that little bit further in their curriculum planning and about giving them some ideas about how they might transform their students' learning and also doing something with me. So I'm not telling them what to do, but lets you know. Take our boots off and dive in together.
I think a lot of research has shown, hasn't it, that the coaching relationship in education is not about, you know, someone telling you how to do it. It is about, like, trying to find what you want to learn together and then, like you said, taking the boots off and just and jumping in. I do like the menu idea because, as you said, once you found out what they needed,
sort of
putting them into categories kind of works,
I'm also really lucky that in my job, I don't have an office. Gee, they, you know, neglected that bit. Or a budget, that's all right. So what I've got is a backpack, and I'll just park anywhere around my school, outside classrooms, at a desk, in the staff room.
So how are you finding that as a work kind of
process? Yes, best thing ever. So I don't need an office, and I think that just is a great way of presenting me as an agile thinker and you know, willing to fit in with them rather than the other way.
I think you've got something for a spark talk. You should have sparked up, I think.
Thought about it because I could have done my game called In the Future, and I play this with my granddaughter as we, you know, go down to the park. And in the future, will there be McDonald's? Or in the future, will there be skipping ropes? And I've invented one that's specifically for education. And in the future, will there be staff meetings? In the future, will there be lining up?
Yeah.
And I was very
great
lucky
questions.
To test it out on Steve Brophy this morning. You know, the...
And how did Steve go
Steve
with
Brophy.
It?
Yeah really Steve good. Brophy. So I love it when people help me bump up my thinking.
I think that... And that's what's... I mean, I'm going to touch on what a lot of speakers have talked about today. Again, this sort of environment at the conference is... It's that, isn't it? It's being able to... It doesn't have to be a presentation as such. It's networking and even talking about your ideas with people like you did with Steve.
Taking risks and Anthony Speranza in his Spark Talk, I felt that really resonated with me about having a go and trying something really, really different, but, you know, having fun with it as well.
Thanks for joining us, Brett. Now, one last thing. I know you've been a fan of some of the anecdotes that we've shared on Two Regular Teachers, and we are still going to publish an anecdotes-based episode in the next couple of weeks. I'm not going to put you under the pump now, but I just sense that there's a lot in there in terms of your experience. Could we somehow hear from you for that episode?
I've got a pretty tame one. I've got lots of wacky ones, but I don't want to tell them on air. But every morning... I'd rock up to school and there's this piano that says, do not play. And of course I couldn't resist. And then I got a bet on with a teacher that I could play a different song every day for a year.
Wow.
Yeah, and I nearly
player?
Did.
Are you a pianist or not?
Yeah, I am, but I play really badly. But, you know, hey, and I'd be driving to work and thinking, oh, yeah, I might play that today. So I'd just sit down and, you know, build it out.
But that's in upwards of, I don't know, what, 100 or so pieces. I mean, were you practicing things on the weekends?
No, I just pull them out. So,
that's fantastic.
Because I play by ear.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, I lost the bet because I think I missed 6 days.
Right.
But otherwise I did it. But one day, my boss came down while I was playing. She said, I knew where you'd be because I've been listening to you.
That's
and
wonderful.
It was really nice. So, hey, that's corny anecdote, but, you know.
It's got a nice ending to it. My final question is, what was it doing there with the do not play?
I reckon it was there for me to break the
wall. Yeah. I think it was. Well, Brett, I know Adam and I appreciate your support, and thanks for being on our special DigiCon 2016 episode, and a special little mention to Celia Coffer, who's sitting over there making sure the lights don't turn off on us in this room.
Thanks, Celia.
Thank you, Celia. All right, well, it's day two at the conference, just on the lunch break, and I've been able to grab a couple more people to talk to us about their experiences at DigiCon. I've got an old friend, an old colleague, Caitlin Hurley now. Welcome, Caitlin, back to Two Regular Teachers. It's been a year.
It has been a year.
And it's great. And you've brought along a colleague today from your own school, and something that I would have loved to have done is bring people from your own school, because that's kind of the thing, isn't it? You know, you want to get more of the like-minded on board. Welcome, Lauren McShannock. Thanks for being a guest on Two Regular Teachers.
Thanks.
Girls, I guess I want to talk about first about your reflections. Being sort of the middle of day two, you start to kind of attempt to process a lot of the information you're getting and maybe how you can try some things straight away when you get back into the classroom. Caitlin,
yep.
Start with you. What are the big things that already you're starting to filter in your mind?
Look, I think as always with this conference, the main thing that I'm taking away from it is the networking. I love coming here and I love speaking to all like-minded people. I love getting inspired and getting ideas to bring back to my room straight away. I love the chance to meet new people, and I love the chance to make new connections, because then I can use those for future projects when we're thinking about using Skype or blogging to connect with other classes and share our learning and work on projects together. So I just think that's a really important part of this conference.
It's interesting, isn't it, how the presentations and the workshops almost become secondary. I've noticed that in the last probably few years when I've come to some of these things. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Lauren, this is your first conference, first sort of, I guess, teaching learning tech-based conference.
Yep.
And you're a second year in the job.
Yep.
How have you found the conference, and what's been a big thing that you've got out of it so far?
Yeah, it's been really good. Like you said, it's the first time I've been to something like this, so I didn't really know what to expect. Caitlin said it was going to be lots of fun and lots of networking, but just the variety of ideas that have been presented, it's been really awesome. Yeah. Like, I've gone to things on radio and blogging and done stuff this morning as well using Microsoft Office, but then there's also been the keynotes, which have been really good. And so just the variety of stuff that's out there to do with digital learning has been really amazing.
And do you find that, because I know that when I speak to colleagues about this type of conference, they kind of think it's something that wouldn't suit them, you know, it's purely just looking at gadgets and stuff like that. And yeah, sure, there are some gadgets around, but are you finding that there's a lot of it comes back to just good ideas for the classroom and teaching and learning?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I've got a background in journalism. That's what I did my bachelor degree in, and so I feel like there's lots of stuff that suits my area of knowledge there, whereas I'm probably not so much into the gadgets and the robotics and doing stuff like that. Like, I find it really cool, but there's something for everyone, I think, definitely.
That's the key. I think that's a really good point, is that I think you can find a way in. I think you can come in feeling maybe a bit intimidated, but then you might just grab that one little thing that suits you.
Definitely.
And suits your learning, and it works. So looking ahead, girls, what do you think is going to be something that's going to resonate maybe back in the classroom immediately? Have you been able to process that yet, or is it something you still need to think about?
There's been lots of things we've been talking along the way. We've been to a couple of different sessions, and we've been kind of meeting up in between and comparing notes and everything. So there's been a couple of little ideas that we'll be taking away. But the one thing that's really stuck with me, particularly today, is from the keynote this morning from Project Rocket. Their program is just amazing, and they were very inspiring, and I really enjoyed their keynote this morning.
Lauren?
Yeah, that was something that we spoke about, you know, wanting to, if we could, grab them and get them to speak to our kids about bullying, and just their message really resonated with us. But I think probably using the Microsoft suite a little bit more. I saw a lot of the capabilities of it this morning.
Yeah, there's not so much. I don't think there's as much bashing of either like Microsoft or Apple any more of these things. It's kind of which one suits you and which one works okay for you.
I felt a bit weird because I went in there with my MacBook and my iPhone to the Microsoft suite session, but I just using the class notebook, and there's so much that we can do with that. So that'll probably be something that I'll try and use.
Great. Well, you've already got some great ideas, and thanks for being on the podcast, and would love to have you back maybe next year or even before then. We're always open to a Skype conversation if you're up for it.
Yes, always.
So enjoy the rest of day two.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, very lucky to get some more great educators on the podcast, and these are first-time guests on Two Regular Teachers. We've got Erin McNamara and Tamarin Kingsley from Aitken Creek Primary School, actually a school that where Beck Spink works, girls, that's right, isn't it?
Yes. Yep.
Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast. I really appreciate you joining
us. Thank you.
Look, I caught your joint presentation yesterday. You were talking about apps iPads in the primary classroom, which I'm very interested in. Our school is pretty new at BYOD. What would you say have been so far, because you're both immersed in it, the biggest successes across the board of implementing that, the device as just a natural tool for the kids?
I think it's important to remember that the kids, you know, from the age of, I've got a 2.5-year-old son, he knows how to work an iPad. Mm. So it's so easy for them to come in and pick up the iPad and use it as a tool to help them. I think, you know, getting the apps right to start off with is a really main part of it. But yeah, you just got to be confident in the kids. They know what they're doing with an iPad, and then it's just giving them the tools to go further.
Are most staff in the school, have they jumped onto this as well, or is it still kind of like loan sharks, you know, around the school
year? It was loan sharks for quite some time. However, last year when we went BYOD across the whole school, it was sort of forcing teachers to get on board and give things a go, because they all of a sudden had 20 iPads in their classrooms and children expecting to use them, but also parents expecting them to be to be used. So we spent a lot of time sharing ideas and through blogs and PD sessions and staff meetings to try and show how simple it actually can be. Started small, so teachers are on board now. Yes.
Yeah, great. Sorry to interrupt. Was that consistent for a while in terms of the, I guess, the PD that was done in-house across staff meetings and things, or was it?
Yeah, we trialed a few different ways. So right in the beginning, we did techie brekkies, which was in the mornings, and we gave that a go. It slowly fizzled, and then we tried a club after school where teachers would come along depending on interest and need. So we'd say, "This is something we're showcasing. Come along if you want to have a look."
Yeah, sure.
For about 10 minutes, and then the school took it as a main priority in their school plans, so allocated some Monday night meetings, which sort of forced everybody to have a look. And
I think that's a key, because, you know, it's funny, I mean, the three of us are teachers, but it's hard to get teachers to attend things outside of the Monday, Tuesday meeting, isn't it? I mean, yes, I know it can be outside the agreement, but you need to be really, you need to be almost forceful, but then you don't want to be because you want them to come, and yeah, it's really tricky. So that's a real feather in your school's cap, I think. In terms of the apps that are being used, particularly in the younger years, are there any that stand out? I mean, I saw you share a few that I know I'm using and some that I actually didn't know before. Are there any that you think are great across the whole board in terms of learning? I mean, I know Explain Everything's a big one. I think that's really shown that can be used in lots of different ways. But what's one that really is something that you love using in the classroom?
Well, there's heaps of different tools. So Book Creator is a really fantastic one, which I know can be used through all year levels in many different ways. I love using Adobe Voice, or Adobe Spark as it's called now. You know, really easy to use. Students can create videos using text, icons, their own photos. It's a great reflection tool for the students, and also a great tool to use for assessment.
I think Adobe Voice is one of those. I mean, it's the ease of use, isn't it? And the quick fire sort of products that they can get out of it. Yeah. Erin, I know you've got a prep teacher and a prep leader. How is the implementation at a prep level? I know there's plenty of prep teachers out there and prep students using iPads, but I think there's a lot out there who would think, too hard.
Yeah.
Particularly when it comes to the work that they have to do that's in the curriculum. How's the implementation at prep level been?
Yeah, look, there's quite a few schools implementing iPads in prep, and it's a lot of phonics-based programs, so, you know, Jolly Phonics and certain games, which obviously can be engaging, but that's not something we looked at. It was a long process, so we started with a trial. We wanted to know if it would actually work in prep first before jumping into it, and doing a trial also gave us some ideas and some avenues as well to show other teachers. So we spent a lot of time doing that and figuring out how it would work, and then rolling it out to the rest of the prep team. And I think by doing that as well, they could see what successes we'd had, some of the failures we'd been through, and how it actually had enhanced learning, and it sort of gave other teachers more confidence in kickstarting the program as well.
Great. Yeah, well, look, it was great to hear you talking today. I kind of wish I had seen one or two of the other presentations that you were involved in. Look, thanks for being on the podcast. And I think the main message that I got out, and I think it's come through in the interview, is that everything you're using these devices for, it's all about creativity and creation of all sorts of things, not just, and I think you said it yesterday, not just being passive, you know, and just watching things and pressing buttons on the iPad. So thanks for joining us on Two Regular Teachers, and enjoy the rest of the day.
No worries. Thank you.
All right, I'm very lucky because I've somehow been able to get the conference chair away from all of her duties. A past guest on the Two Regular Teachers podcast. Welcome, Beck Spink.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks for giving up time. I know you're about to drop dead.
Pretty much.
But thank you for giving up your time to be on. So at this stage of the conference, we're in day two. It's in the last session. We're almost at the final sort of networking hour. How are you evaluating the conference at this stage, or are you evaluating the conference at this stage?
I think I've been evaluating the conference since my opening remarks yesterday morning. It's been continuous. I'm really, really happy overall with how the 2 days have gone, all of the hard work that we put into getting this far, and then just watching everything just fall into place and come together has been absolutely amazing. The keynotes, like, completely surpassing my expectations. It's just been amazing.
And varied too. I mean, I was going to bring up the keynotes. I can't recall a greater sort of variety, and really great to see sort of like the championing of the female voice as well in Digitech. And I think particularly today with the girls from
Project Rocket,
thank you, and then Steve Brophy this afternoon with his personal story. It just that kind of variety just really, which really gets you thinking, you know, you've got both ends of the spectrum there in terms of ideas and experiences.
Yeah, thanks for that feedback, because looking at the keynotes was one of the first things that we actually did, apart from finalising a venue, and then the next thing on the agenda was keynotes, and we wanted to start with keynotes before we looked at anything else, because they set the scene for the 2 days in the conference. And
they're like the anchor, aren't they?
Exactly. I suppose in terms of variety, that was something that was really important. We wanted different messages, but that lots of people could connect with. And you mentioned the thing about female voice, which is so important. You know, when choosing the keynotes, we didn't ever say we want female keynotes.
Sure.
Yeah. We talked about equality and that we should have equal representation, but we never ever planned to put, you know, females on the stage for the sake of it. It just happened to be that they were the best people for the job at the time and for what we wanted and the purpose of our conference. So we were really excited about that. We were also really excited that all of them are Australian, and I think that that's something that is completely lacking in many Australian conferences.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, you know, we do amazing things here, and more people need to know about it.
It is. I think what's really good, and it's evolved, like you said, again this year, it's in DigiCon's third year, is that local voice. And it's just nice to hear. And look, Adam and I use the word regular in the title of this podcast, not in a negative way, even though it can be construed like that sometimes. But I think that regular voice, local voice that we get at this conference is just so powerful. Now, I wanted to ask you are a teacher, you're a regular teacher. I know you're really tired. I am intrigued. And anyone who's listening now, you know, after being at DigiCon, I don't know how you balance all this at all. I mean, I know you're passionate about what you do and your work and your job. I'm not sure how you do it. Is there any kind of insight you can give us to what, you know, the lead up and the building up to this conference has been like? And have you had moments of self-doubt? I guess you have.
Completely. Yeah. That's a huge question, because I don't even know how to answer it, because
I probably should ask you in a month.
Yeah. I don't know how I do it. I just do it, I suppose. It helps that, I suppose, like you said, I am passionate, but it's more than that. It's about, you know, really believing in wanting to make change and being able to help organise a conference that impacts hundreds, if not thousands, of teachers eventually when, you know, things go online. And if you have a look at the Twitter stream, there's been so many people that actually aren't here tweeting. To be able to impact that many people, you know, that's why you do it.
Yeah.
And I've got a great team, so that's how things got done. Great office staff, all of the above. But yeah, I don't know how it happened.
I hope you do give yourself time sometimes. Do you actually ever sort of stop and... I'm sure you do. Because there's only so many hours. And, you know.
I haven't stopped for a while, but I am very much looking forward to stopping today.
Well, you've definitely earned it. So I'd like to thank you again for being on the show, and thank you also from Adam and I for allowing us to gather interviews and be a part of the conference. It's very we still feel a bit. I know he'd love to be here, but we still feel very humbled by it.
Fantastic. It's great to have you all part of it, and you know, the podcast from last year was popular, and I'm sure this one will be as well. So
I hope so, yeah.
Much.
I think we've got a nice mix of things, yeah.
Definitely.
All right, so enjoy that drink, perhaps, that just little one you're going to have soon.
Just a little one, yeah.
Thanks,
Rick.
Well, Adam, it's very late on day two, and I was just thinking before that it's...
Hey, it's good to catch up with you again, Adam. Just by the way.
He won't like that. Well, I think a lot of our regular listeners will know that voice, and a person who we normally have on around Christmas time, and I was thinking, well...
Ho, ho, ho.
Yes, some people celebrate Christmas in July, don't they?
They did. We just had, actually, at the local neighbourhood house in... Good old Port Arlington, we had the Christmas in July.
Well, it makes sense to have our mid-year check-in on Two Regular Teachers with John Pearce then, so thanks for coming, John.
It is absolutely my pleasure to be the dead last for the afternoon.
Now, if we were doing a vodcast, people would be seeing lots of gadgets being packed into suitcases, lots of detritus around the place. I've kind of caught you in the final pack-up of the conference.
We have, yes. I have had an absolute hoot for 2 days because, as you know, well know, Rick, I don't get a chance to work with real kids that often anymore.
I know.
And I've been surrounded by two groups of students from Princes Hill.
For the whole time, too.
For
both days.
They have hung in there big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been over the last couple of years collecting, as you said, detritus. And I know nothing about how it all works, but... Yeah, I've had the exact people to tell me how it all works, and that is a bunch of kids, and they have shown me heaps of stuff. And here we go. We've got.
So, if the vodcast was happening, you'd see some people from the DLTV committee.
People who should know better.
They're dancing in front of us. So. Don't have the courage.
It's like Thunderbirds are go.
A bunch of kids.
Yeah. So, did you find that? So, at this little fringe festival part, did you find yourself with those students here stepping back more than what you...
Yeah, it was an absolute delight to be able to look across and go, oh, that's that little watchy type thing that I bought, you know, on spec a couple of months back, and I sort of know, you know, you plug it and you tap it and that sort of stuff. And they seem to actually know what they're doing. And to see them running around a sort of a loop up here and coming back and having it tell them what their heart rate was and how many steps and all that sort of stuff. That they didn't read the instructions either, by the way. That's scary because the instructions are all online. So they absolutely figured it out themselves and put it into practice.
It's wonderful, isn't it? And that's right up your alley, is allowing the students to create. Now, the other... I saw you present, but I want to touch on your Spark talk that you did this afternoon about the power in your
very
pocket.
Slow yeah. start in Spark
once,
talk.
Once that little spinning wheel on the screen fixed up, you were fine.
I put it all down to the moderator in the room. He actually turned it off. He turned the dial back. And
do you know, it was funny though, because I thought you were turning the clock back a little bit with that presentation, because I have this memory, and this is a memory of us in our friendship as well as our colleagueship, standing in the driveway of my house many years ago after a visit with you and your good wife, and you pulled your smart device out of your pocket. I think it was an iPhone 4 at the time, if I remember rightly.
It would have been.
I don't think it was a 3, I think it was a 4.
No, we didn't deal with it. We waited, did the right thing. We waited 12 months and we got that.
Like all good Apple customers, yeah. But I remember you pulling it out, and it had a yellow cover. And you said to me, you need to get yourself one of these. And I said, yeah. And I still had my old phone back then, my old Nokia. And you said, it stuck in my head. You said, not just for your own benefit, but you'll use this in your classroom. You know, have it in your pocket and you'll use it. And it was great to sort of see, even, you know, I think that's over 6 years ago that we discussed that. That it's still, the power is still in your pocket if you're a teacher.
Yeah. And it's got to be recognised. Mm. Because, you know, if we... Uptake of smartphones in Australia is just phenomenal. I didn't touch on that, and I could have and should have maybe. And it's part of our everyday life. Mm. Yet, in schools, as we said in the Spark Talk too often, it's check it in at the office or put it in a basket there. Forget it all day.
And, you know, it's even the same, though, I think for some staff members I do know. And, look, it's each to their own, but I do know some staff that will know I'm not going to get my device out in class. No, it's my device. It's my personal device. I bought it for myself. Mine's always in my pocket. And like you said in the talk, simply even just taking it out to snap a photo of some child's work I'm going to use as part of my reflections for what I've got to do for what the criteria I have to meet as a teacher. Why not? It's just the ease of it, isn't it? Yeah.
Can be, yeah.
So I better let you get back to packing, because there is a lot to pack.
And I notice you're not helping much, but that's okay. I have. We'll put up
well, you know. I'm
Paul Mel over there. Look at it. Look, she's straining under
DLTV,
the load.
DLTV Mel Cashin is currently walking out with a box of things under her arm.
She's got all the good ones, you notice.
Yeah, she's got all the good ones. So before anyone steals anything else, I'd like to thank you for being on again. And I guess we'll see you just before Christmas, will we?
Well, that's if you've got the pudding cooked and all that. Yeah.
Yes, and maybe eggnog this year instead of a cold beer.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much, sir. Colleague.
Well, Rick, I'm back. And that brings an end to episode 61. And I must say, sitting here listening to a few of those interviews, it was fantastic, mate. And I must admit, it makes me feel a little bit jealous in a way that didn't have the opportunity to go this year and actually not only be a part of the podcast, those interviews, but as you said off the top, being able to catch up with a lot of like-minded people from the PLN and just catch up in such a terrific setting. Yeah, it sounds like everyone there had a terrific time.
Well, thanks for letting me fly the flag for us, Adam, and you weren't too far away. And again, yeah, you're right. It's always nice to catch up with those like-minded people and also just see some of the great stuff, again, like every year, that people are doing in their classrooms.
Mm, great. And look, I just want to say before we go tonight, I've got a mini Olympics going on tomorrow. Now, we know we'll probably come up in the podcast in the next few weeks, but tomorrow, my 1-2 students were having a bit of a mini Olympics, you know, complete with they're all in different countries and, you know, egg and spoon race and sack races and obstacle courses and things like that. So I'm pumped. I hope White Line Fever Lavars, I'm not in anything, so White Line Fever Lavars shouldn't show up.
I just think you need to stand on the sidelines and be the umpire there.
I think I will. I'll just umpire. Even then, it can be a little bit difficult. But I just want to throw that out because my kids have put in a lot of effort to, you know, do flags and they're coming in their colours of the country that they're representing. We've got different countries around the world, so it should be really good. So, from me, Adam Lavars.
Me, Rick Kayla Thompson, and we've both been two regular teachers.